Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all here on a wet day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you as our source, as our light, as the giver of life. Lord, this morning we ask you to speak to us through your word. Lord, we're so thankful we have your word. It connects us with you, connects us with your heart. It's your way of speaking to us, enlightening us, and eventually changing us. So Lord, this morning, come to us again through your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're here going through some of the parables in the New Testament. Before we jump into the parable we're coming to do today, our topic is adjusting kingdom expectations. You know, all of us have this problem of expectations that are not fulfilled. Am I right? Right? We all have expectations, and we find out that most of these expectations eventually have to have some adjustment. A good number of people in this room are immigrants. When you came to this country, before you came to this country, you had an expectation. Let me ask you, was it realistic? Streets of gold, and I found out there were streets of potholes. Right? Instead of money falling off trees, it was just leaves that turned brown at the end of the year. Instead of this high-paying job, you found out they don't appreciate my qualifications. Right? You're a doctor in China. You come over here, what's that? It seems like it's not worth anything, right? Didn't your wife, she was a nurse in the Philippines, wasn't she?
She's a head nurse.
She's a head nurse in the Philippines, and she came over here?
She's a caregiver.
A caregiver. Until she gets herself requalified. And has to go through the process to get recertified, requalified. You know, my daughter just moved to the States a year ago. What was she here? She was a registered social worker. Okay? She goes to the States and she's got to requalify, write an exam all over again, study 6 volumes to prepare herself to write the exam. And if she happens to move to another state, she'll have to do it all over again. We have expectations, and all our expectations need some adjustment. We get discouraged, reality hits, and expectations have to be adjusted, right? And you don't have to be an immigrant even to experience that, right? You just have to be a university graduate today. Expectations seem to have to be adjusted all the time. Well, you know what? In the Bible, same thing. So what we're coming to today is, you know, Jesus had disciples. And at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, there was another man there. His name was John the Baptist, right? And we have a verse here, Matthew chapter 3, from John the Baptist. This is what he says. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Verse 12, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. In other words, what this verse is telling us is there's going to be some real cleaning up here, right? We're going to clear the threshing floor, we'll gather the wheat, the good stuff, and we're going to get rid of and burn all the rest, the chaff, right?
Yes.
Gather, burn, right?
Yes.
And the disciples say, that's great, let's see it happen tomorrow.
Right.
Excuse me, I have a cough. And I know it's trying to come up and my drugs are trying to keep it quiet. There we go. So the disciples are expecting some, you know, it's, I can fully appreciate and I'm the same kind of person. Let's do it now, let's finish it today. So the disciples' expectation was, this is going to happen. We're going to gather the wheat, we're going to burn the chaff, and the kingdom's come, and everything's wonderful. And actually, all the Jews thought the same thing. When the Messiah comes, he will clean house. A new era will be brought in. Evil will be gone. Righteousness will prevail. Everything's going to be great. Now, actually, everybody has the same thought, even today. As a result, why? Or we have this statement. Have you not heard this statement before? If there is a God, why is there so much evil in the world? If there's a God, how come there's evil? Isn't God supposed to be able to do something? If he's so great, isn't he? Can't he just annihilate, burn the chaff? So, we have a parable today that we're going to come to, which gives an adjustment to this thought. It adjusts this thought about termination of evil, the entering in of the kingdom, and everything being wonderful. Okay? So our parable today has got a few different names to it. You could call it the parable of the weeds. You could call it the parable of the tares. Anyway, it's in Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 24. Let's read these verses. And he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds. Gotta speak clearly today. Sowed weeds among the wheat. So the wheat is the good seed, obviously, and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? That's the weeds. But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barns. So, we have this parable here. A man sows good seed, which is here called wheat. But there's also an enemy, and the enemy sows weeds among the wheat, among the good seed. And the parable continues, they grow together until the harvest. They grow together. Now, what's difficult is, according to the picture and according to what's understood by most people concerning these weeds or tares, is a certain species that when it's growing up, when it's young, when it's tender, it looks very similar. The two look very similar. I think we have a picture. Can you jump ahead to that picture? Here we go. There's the wheat on the left before it's fully ripe. Here's the, if you can pronounce that, on the right. That's the other tares, the kind of what they expect. It looks kind of similar. The difference is when it actually gets fully ripe, the wheat, the heads of the wheat, the kernels of the wheat are much plumper. And eventually, even the head of the wheat starts to kind of, it's so heavy it can't stay up anymore. But the weeds are very sturdy and they stand up. So what happens is, in harvesting, actually what happens is, they come through, the combine comes through, combines everything. Then it's got a sifter with different grades of holes. The weeds fall through. The wheat doesn't fall through. So what happens is this machine, the combine, has a bag for the weed seeds and a bin for the wheat seeds. And guess what they actually do? I remember as a kid, my dad did this. We gathered the weed seeds. We would take them to a pile of stones. We would pour old oil all over the wheat seeds, and we'd light it on fire. Burn it. That's the only way to get rid of it, because you don't want those wheat seeds growing next year. So that's what you do. You burn it. You do burn it. We burned it. The picture in the Bible is true. That's what they did. It's not just for fun. It's not just an analogy. But God's, in the parable, it's going back to that parable, it says, let them grow together. You pull out the weeds, you may end up pulling out the wheat with it. It's hard to discern. You know, throughout history, people have tried to annihilate evil. But what's interesting, every time somebody tries to do that, almost always they become evil themselves. Example, ISIS, or ISIL, whatever you want to call it. They think in their mind that they are eradicating evil. The problem is they are becoming evil themselves. But let me give you another one that may hit a little closer to home. You know, there's been a lot in the news lately about residential schools. The concept at the time, especially of the church-run residential schools, was to root out what they considered to be in the Aboriginal children, to root out what they thought was evil. But in the process of trying to do that, they became evil themselves. So, let's continue. You know, what's interesting about this parable, as it was the one we covered last week, the disciples asked the Lord for an explanation, and the Lord gave them a detailed explanation. So this parable has a very good, detailed explanation. So let's come to it. It's still in the same chapter, but down a few verses, starting in verse 36. Then he left the crowds, went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. And he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. You know, what's interesting about this explanation, it's like, okay, point one, this is that. Point two, this is that. Point three, this is that. So let's go. We got 7 points. Number one, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Two, the field is the world. We'll come back to this, but just remember, this is an extremely important point. The field is the world. And the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. That's number three. Number four, the weeds are the sons of the evil one. Number five, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. Number six, the harvest is the end of the age. And number seven, the reapers are the angels. The angels are the reapers, or the reapers are the angels. Okay, we got that, right? That's the seven things. Number one, the Son of Man is the one who sows the good seed. The field is the world. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. When coming to parables, when understanding parables, it's important to get what's important. So in other words, there are some things in the original parable that were not explained, because the Lord didn't explain them. Why did not the Lord explain them? Why didn't he say what was something? Why? Because the Lord said, obviously, it wasn't important. So when understanding parables, we have to be careful we don't call something something when it's not called something by the Bible. In other words, for example, in this in this illustration, in the parable itself, you have these people called what? The servants. In the explanation, the servants are not mentioned. And the reason they're not mentioned is because the Lord did not consider them important for this parable. So, that's what I say. Don't make something important that the Lord didn't make important. We just focus on these seven items. Okay? So, this parable explained. We got these seven things. Okay, let's come back to this matter of the field is the world just for a moment. It's important for us to understand this. Why? Because some people have taken this parable and said, oh, the field is the church. But this verse makes it very clear the field is the world. It doesn't say the field is the church. Right? It's the world. It's the whole world. Okay, so let's keep going here. So then, how should we understand this parable and how should we apply it to ourselves? I would apply it this way. How should we live in the world? It's talking about the field, which is the world. How should we live? Both the wheat, which are the what? The sons of the kingdom, and the weeds, the sons of the evil one, are both in the world. And according to this parable, they're growing together. They're growing together. God's expectation is not that his believers would become monks, separated from everybody, everything, up in the mountain, all by themselves. That's not what the Lord expected. He's expecting we live in the world. But in the world, we have a certain environment that we're in, where there's both wheat, sons of the kingdom, and weeds, also sons of the evil one. So, in this field, in the world, there are two kinds of people. Sons of the kingdom and sons of the evil one. There are no hybrids. There are no GMOs. It's either one or the other. One or the other. So which one are you? Make sure you're a son of the kingdom. Make sure you're a son of the kingdom. Otherwise, you'll end up in that bag that gets sent to be burned. I didn't finish these verses. We got to better finish this. Verse 40. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So the fire is not so pleasant, because there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not merely annihilation, but weeping and gnashing of teeth. Another reason for not uprooting the weeds. You know, in this parable, we don't really see this, but I believe in the spiritual realm, we can understand this. And that is this. We actually all began as sons of the evil one. Every one of us. We were not born of our mothers as sons of the kingdom. No, we all started off as sons of the evil one. In other words, we all started off as weeds. But through believing in the Lord Jesus, we got a transfer. Maybe you could say we are all GMOs in a good sense. We got changed. We got transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the God, to the kingdom of the Son of his love. We had a transfer. So because of that, aren't you glad you weren't uprooted and burned? We have an example. You know, just the other week, about a week and a half ago, a sister, her name is Elizabeth Elliott. We have a picture of her. She passed away, went to be with the Lord. Okay? How many of you know about this sister? Put up your hand. Right? Yeah, that's just what I thought. Okay, you need a little story time. We have time for a story. In the 1950s, early 1950s, this sister with her husband, who's on the right, along with about four other couples, young couples, went to Ecuador as missionaries. Okay? So they were there in Ecuador. They were reaching various tribes. They found out there was a certain tribe that one name was called Aka. This tribe had never had contact with white men. But that's not the difficult part. The difficult part is this tribe were people who thought nothing of killing other people. Whether it's their brother, whether even it's their friend, whether it's their enemy, they killed people. These five missionary couples wanted to reach him, especially this brother Jim Elliott on the right hand. He was kind of the leader. And they struggled to find a way to reach these people. Well, to try and make a long story short, they eventually made some contact with them. They landed a plane on a beach, and the five of them made contact with three people of this tribe. They had contact, and they were hoping to have more contact with them and hoping eventually to engage them. Well, these three, instead of going back to the tribe and bringing more to have contact with them, they brought more, and they just killed all five men. All five men were martyred for the sake of the Lord and preaching the gospel. So, what happened? Within 2 years, his wife, Elizabeth Elliott, with her 3 or 4 year old daughter, was able to move in and live with this tribe of Aka Indians. And eventually, the murderer of her husband, or murderers of her husband, and the other men got saved. The tares became wheat. The weeds became wheat. They got a transfer. You see now, in a sense, why the Lord was so wise. Don't uproot. You don't know. Maybe that weed seed can become a good seed. The son of the evil one can become a son of God, a son of the kingdom. So, she herself, and plus a child of another of the brothers who was killed, he also eventually went to live with them, and for years, many years, this tribe eventually, many of them, got saved. And there was one of the tribe make this comment. He says, before, I killed 12 men, but I don't do that anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why? Because he got a transfer. The son of the evil one became the son of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, you don't have to be a murderer of men to be a son of the evil one. Like I said earlier, we're all born as sons of the evil one, but we need a transfer. So, my question to you this morning, are you a son of the evil one, or are you a son of the kingdom? Secondly, concerning this matter of judgment, there will be judgment. There will be eventually the separation of the weeds and the wheat, but it's not for you to do that. It's not for me to do that. That is left to the Son of Man and his angels. The Son of Man will send his angels. They will gather out of this kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace. Judgment is left up to Christ and his angels. They will carry out that judgment. So, what is the result? What is the destiny of the weeds? Burning and gnashing and weeping. Gnashing of teeth. What is the destiny of the sons of the kingdom? They will shine like the sun in the kingdom. They will shine. We sang the song, shine your light. Let the whole world see. Okay. You know, we have a good verse in Philippians. Let's come to this verse in Philippians chapter 2. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If you are a son of the evil one, you better get a transfer. But if you are a son of the kingdom, what are you going to do? This is also not just, we're not just sharing the gospel this morning to have your people transferred from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. But as believers, there's a word for us as well. And that is, we should what? Live in the midst of a, we do live in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. But in this, we should shine as lights in the world. You know, these first two parables that we've touched, this matter of the four kinds of soil and this parable, both are talking about growing. Growing. It's not just a matter of receiving the seed. It's also a matter of growing. We need to grow up. And part of this growing up is to shine as lights in the world. Yes, the world is crooked. It is twisted. Right? Was it Friday? The U.S. Supreme Court passed a ruling in all 50 states that it's legal for gay couples to get married. Big news in the States. Problem is, it happened here in 2004. We got nothing to be jumping up and down about. We live in a crooked and twisted generation. As many have said, God's the one who defined marriage. Only God can change the definition of marriage. We don't have the right to do that. Well, some people think they have the right. Okay, so what should we do? We should grow. We should grow, day by day, grow. We have another verse in Mark chapter 4. I like this little verse, short little thing. It's actually a parable as well. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed in the ground. He sleeps, rises, the seed sprouts, it grows. Verse 28, the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. What is this showing us? This shows us growth is a process. It's not overnight. It takes time. Little by little. Here a little, there a little. Here a little, there a little. Yes. The problem is, there's also weeds. You know, I have this little vegetable garden in the back of my property where I'm living, and man, the weeds are really, I'm struggling with weeds this year. And it's talking about the previous parable, yes, it really does choke out the good stuff. You got to work at it. We have to grow. And growing doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It's a lifelong process. I would hope, my desire is that I would have the aspiration till my last breath, I would still be growing. We all have still some time to grow, to mature, so that eventually we could become sun, like the sun shining in the kingdom of our Father. But as we grow, you know what's interesting with those the illustration of the weeds and the wheat? As the wheat matures, and as the weeds mature, the more matures, the more there's distinction. The more you can tell they're not the same. They're not the same. We should have this aspiration, I believe, that we should be different. The sons of the kingdom of God should not look the same as the sons of the evil one. There should be a difference. But for that difference to be manifested and shown, there needs to be growth and maturity. Are you growing? Do you look the same as the sons of the evil one? Or do you look different? Ask yourself that. You're the only one who can answer that question. I can't answer it for you. Are you different? Or are you the same? Are you growing? Are you maturing? The parable that Nigel covered last week, the end of it, talks about bearing fruit, some a 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. The good seed, the wheat, bears fruit. Is your life bearing fruit? Is your life bearing fruit? This is the verse. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold. In another case, 60. In another, 30. Some may be more, some may be less, but there is fruit. And I would say this. Don't compare yourself with others. Compare yourself to God. Ask yourself, Lord, ask the Lord, Lord, am I bearing fruit? If not, why? And what is in the way of my bearing fruit? Why am I not growing so well? The sons of the kingdom grow and bear fruit. At the same time, we should not expect the environment around us to be wonderful and free from all kinds of evil. This doesn't mean that we should be passive about evil. But just realize this is the world we live in. We live in a world. We live in a crooked and twisted generation. In spite of the evil, we still would grow. We cannot use the excuse, well, it's just evil all around me. I can't grow. No, we can't use that. We can't use that excuse. We have to grow. Secondly, although we shouldn't be passive, not being passive doesn't mean that we should try and carry out the judgment that's reserved for God to carry out. Let God be the judge. Let Christ and his angels do the judging at the end of the age. There is a judgment at the end of the age. And because there is a judgment at the end of the age, we can have confidence that it's not up to us. We also can have confidence that God will deal with evil. That verse in Matthew is quite interesting. It's evil and the evil people. God will deal with both. He will deal with the source of evil, and he'll deal with those who follow the source of evil. But God will judge. And that should be a warning to us. I would say another thing we need to consider, and that is this. You see a son of the evil one, but that doesn't mean that person will always remain a weed. Pray for them. You never know. The murderer may get saved. The murderer may have a transfer out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Just like the mercy reached us, and we had a transfer. So, we should, if our thinking needs to be adjusted, let our thinking be adjusted. Coming back to the matter of adjusting our expectations. God is working. Yes, the devil is also working. But God is also working. Don't think God is not working. Just because the devil is working doesn't mean God is not working. No, God is working. And God will eventually judge. Are you a son of the kingdom, or are you the son of the evil one? If you're a son of the evil one, you need to transfer. And if you're a son of the kingdom, you need to grow. None of us is off the hook this morning. We all need to have a response. Lord, either one is, Lord, I repent. I'm a sinner and I need you. Grant me a transfer. Or I've had a transfer. Lord, grant me the aspiration to become mature so that I would one day shine as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Amen. We grow. Actually, whether we like it or not, the fact is we all grow best in adversity. We grow best in adversity because it makes us desperate. We may not like that, but isn't that your experience? Adversity causes us to grow. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you died on the cross. Amen. You died on the cross to carry our sins, to carry the sins of the whole world. Lord, if there's any here this morning who have not yet received you, grant them a transfer to open their heart to receive you. Just by saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you. I repent. Accept me in your kingdom. Lord, and those of us who are already sons of the kingdom, grant us a desire not to remain immature, but to mature. That our life would make a difference. That our life would bear fruit. That you would be glorified. Lord, we ask this, that we could be those who really know you. Lord, grant us a heart of compassion to those who are not in the kingdom. Everyone needs compassion. We do, so do even the present sons of the evil one. They need a transfer. Give us a heart to reach out to them, to shine our light that the whole world may see. Lord, we all ask this in your precious name. Amen. 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 Lord, be with you all. We have no announcements. Grace be with you. We're dismissed. Oh, next week. Sorry.